Vanessa Gray. I'm Janung First Nations Reservation in Sarnia, Ontario.
And so we're here at the Unist'ot'en Action Camp. Tell us why you came out here.
I came up here to bring a delegation of young peoples from the Amjanung First Nations Reservation and Six Nations Reservation in Ontario to experience the tar sands, the effects of tar sands, and other resistance happening in Canada against pollution and in defense of the land.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what have been some of your feelings coming out here and, you know, meeting with people who are trying to block pipelines here?
I feel that there's a lot here that someone like myself or the youth who have come here can really learn from, because where we come from, the land has already been destroyed and we already see the effects. Here they are trying to save what's left of it, and we are able to see what could have been without the industry. Mm-hmm.
So you've been quite active back home against another Enbridge pipeline, Line 9. It's a proposal right now. Can you tell us just maybe kind of a little bit about Line 9 and how it might impact your community?
Line 9 is a pipeline going from Toronto to Montreal. It is about 37 years old. It was built to carry conventional oil. That's the oil used for your diesel and the oil that flows easily. And then they want to convert it to tar sands oil, bitumen, to carry the oil from Sarnia to Montreal and ship it out through Maine. And the problem with that is converting an old pipeline that's not meant for bitumen to bitumen is a mistake, and the mistake has been made before with Line 6B, in which we all saw where the Kalamazoo River was badly destroyed because of this oil spill, and it still has not been cleaned up. It's been about 3 years. On July 25th, it'll be 3 years later that they could not clean up this oil spill because bitumen is uncleanable. It's a heavy substance and it sinks, and the companies have no idea how to clean it up. They want to repeat the same mistake in my hometown, or my reserve of Amjanung, and where this spill can potentially happen and never be cleaned up.
Mm. Have people on your reserve taken a stance around this pipeline?
I mean, there is disagreement with the idea of bringing tar sands oil through this old pipeline, but there isn't enough resistance happening because there isn't enough knowledge in the community yet where people feel enraged enough to take a stand against it. And so that's why I'm here, to bring this knowledge to everybody so they can at least make the decision from an informed decision before they decide whether they are want to take a stand against it or not. Mm-hmm.
And so there was recently a industry convention in Sarnia recently, and or I believe it was in Sarnia, and you guys did an action against it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So there is a conference called Bitumen Canada's Opportunity or National Opportunity, and it was an industry alliance where representatives from these companies attended from Sarnia, and they attended from Alberta. They came from all over, and these companies were all here, all came to Sarnia because the idea is to bring To expand the tar sands project so far is as to bringing more and more of it and bringing it through trucks and trains and tankers and pipelines. So they're trying to expand the bitumen more so than it already is right now. So that this meeting or this gathering was to just talk about the positives to bringing bitumen to Sarnia and more of it to Ontario, because some people see it as an opportunity. And so myself and others have, once we were aware of this was happening, we said this can't happen without us having our say in this. And we got together and we planned a gathering, and we did peaceful nonviolent direct actions, where we put ribbons all around downtown of the medicine wheel colors, and representing that this is native land and this is the land that we're sticking up for. We put together a march that went downtown, through downtown, and just to show that we are here and we are loud with our message, and we're not going to back down. And we also did another action where my name was on the list for this conference. I signed up. I paid $500 to attend this conference. I did not pay that $500. I raised the money to pay that. And I attended the conference for the morning and listened to their plans of bringing more bitumen to Sarnia particularly. And then once the time was right, I pulled out the banner from my shirt, and I held it in front of all these white rich men and women in the middle of a TD representative speaking about how tar sands are gonna save the economy, and my banner said, "You're killing my generation," and that was just to have my voice heard and my message heard loud and clear, and to disrupt this meeting. And then I was up there for about 20 minutes. I was escorted out by a policeman, and then that was the point of us doing this action, was to disrupt it and let it be heard. And they had media there, so I was in local papers and that sort of thing. And so it was a much bigger success than we thought it would have been, because if I hadn't walked out on that stage with that banner, with that message, I wouldn't have been on the front page of the paper, and then people wouldn't have been questioning, why is that girl doing this? Like, what is this bitumen she's talking about? Or what does this have to do with future generations? And so in that way, I feel very happy with the results in our actions.
Mm. How did you feel when you were up there on the stage with that banner?
I felt like I was doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I felt like I was in the right place to do this, and it was meant to be for me to be up there. There was a little bit of fear, not of anyone in the room, but because I was afraid I was going to trip and fall in front of everybody and then have to get up with a serious message. So it was fine, though. I felt a real great support from my group and my friends who helped me put all of that together. I could not have done that without my support group. And I was texting them throughout the conference, and they were very reassuring. And I had I had a lawyer's number written on my arm. I was ready for just about any for anything, and I feel like, yeah, I did a really good thing.
And lastly, I guess, what are you hoping, or what would you want to see people in different parts of Canada or Turtle Island do to try to stop pipelines, whether it's out west or back home with Line 9?
I think people need to be uncomfortable. For me, life would be easier if I were quiet, and it would be more comfortable if I just didn't say anything or speak up against these huge companies. But change doesn't happen when you're comfortable where you are. You have to be uncomfortable. You have to make yourself uncomfortable. You have to step out of your safety boundary, and you have to push others to do the same thing. Because I feel that the reason why we don't see as much resistance in Canada as we do around the world, such as Egypt most recently, is because the Canadian public is so comfortable with their lifestyle and their cars and first world issues, and all of this is because people don't feel that the pressure to do so. And I feel if people are uncomfortable or so uncomfortable, then they will make a change. But there has to be a real push for that first.